Good afternoon and welcome to the special edition of The Boldness on Saturday, the 7th of March. The Boldness is about lived experience of disability, and my name is Raphael Caleb, also better known as Raph. On March the 8th, it's International Day of Women. 3CR is doing a huge special talking everything, having female or people and people that identify as being female as the broadcasters, holding that space for this very, very important day. And the Boldness contribution to the International Day of Women special is the lead into it. And this very special show, we have spoken with Sarah Barton regarding an upcoming documentary fundraiser for the late, great Stella Young, a very important part of disability culture and disability pride. But more specifically, I've also got Kath Duncan, who's incredibly unique and a huge part of disability culture. And I'm going to give Kath Duncan some special billing as the creative writer, producer, director, presidente of a play coming up called Specials. Welcome to The Boldness, Kath. How are you?
Hey, Raph.
Today?
Excellent. Hello, Raph. How's it going? I'm great. How's it going with you?
I am doing even better now that I've actually got you on the line to pre-record.
Oh, bless.
You're an award-winning artist and a playwright. What is Specials? What's it about?
It's an hour and a quarter play that tracks two former special ed students as they're just about to give evidence at the Royal Commission, the Disability Royal Commission, because there were stories, anecdotes given by people about special ed as well at the Disability Royal Commission into exploitation, abuse, and I can't remember the other one, it might have been negligence. Anyway, everyone knows the commission I'm talking about. So these two former students are about to give evidence at the Royal Commission, but they go into a time tunnel instead, and the commissioners come back as the pretty much evil teachers and the bizarre parent character that they used to deal with in special ed. So they're back in the school in a weird time tunnel shifting of reality sort of thing. And they go through this experience. It's kind of like a very gothic, nightmarish fantasy, you might say. And so ultimately they actually defeat the hideous, their enemies within the school and run off into the future together, not as lovers but as friends into the future together. And we're back at the Royal Commission and we actually find out what the Royal Commission determined around special education in Australia, which for most of us was disappointing. So that's pretty much the story with a lot of, there's kind of like a, it's surreal. There's six performers, so it's quite busy. I think it's fabulous, but then I wrote it.
Kath, that is because you are fabulous. We all know that
darling.
You're completely fabulous. But
it's also
like with these, how it was actually written, like the experiences that shaped Kath as a child in special education, 1960s, a very, very different era?
Well, yes and no. I mean, special ed remains as punitive and horrible as ever. It's just its target has changed. You know, I mean, that's where you get the kids in cages in classrooms and all that from, is that nowadays it's autistic kids, kids with psychiatric behavioural disorders, all that sort of group. So there's still these kids winnowed out at the beginning as being regarded as having to be taught separately. And in this day and age, special ed in the 60s didn't and still doesn't have an actual curriculum. So they don't have to teach anything. And, you know, so that's still with us. But, yes, I went to special ed when I was a kid. I went to a special kindergarten, then to primary school until I was 8 or 9, sort of in that thing between, like the year between being 8 and being 9, when I got in the old days, they used to call it integrated into mainstream education. And I look back on that time, I must have been in my early 40s when I had to fill out all this stuff about every educational institution I'd attended. And I remembered special school, and I felt this incredible rage, like absolutely burn the place down anger. And I thought, oh, you know, that's interesting, because being a freelance sort of feature maker, writer, etc., media maker and all the rest, I look for strong emotions. And I thought, wow, like that's really interesting. I applied for a PhD to do the research. And when I did the research into my special school and then special ed in Australia, I was actually legitimately horrified by what I found. I have a very Dickensian view of that dump. And as a adult, I thought, no, kids are so dramatic and, you know, just, oh, I hate the police, Mom, and all the rest. But no, that was so bizarre to find it was every bit as awful as I felt it to be.
Something which is important to recognise for its reflection, going into special education and being segregated from the rest of the community, where they're essentially kept as prisoners, where it was somewhat challenging to find escape routes.
Well, funny you should say that. Like, absolutely. My school, as it turns out, was built on a garbage dump. And to get into it, there was a long ramp down into the darkness. So you actually got into the school underground. And so you couldn't get back out that entrance. It was, like, really quite steep. And then the back of the school was this huge fence covered with barbed wire. And it was legitimately just that. And when I did interviews with students who were there around the time I was, one student said that, you know, I asked the teacher or the nurse, because there was lots of testing going on, why I couldn't go to regular school. And the nurse said, because you can't go to the toilet by yourself or go up steps. And she said they just seemed really small things to her, which meant that she couldn't go to the same school where her sisters went. Yeah.
Specials is a once-in-a-generation work. It's politically sharp and artistically ambitious. This is disabled people taking control of our stories, our stages, and our futures. Great quote, Tansy. Please, what do you think, Kath?
Well, you know, as you were reading it, I was reflecting on the fact that I go to see a lot of disability arts, but I don't often get to see cultural works from us which are about anger, rage, retribution, revenge, destruction, and all those emotions that, you know, apparently disabled people aren't supposed to feel. Like, a lot of the things I see, and I love them, don't get me wrong, I see great stuff here in Australia. I've seen stuff in Thailand, I've seen stuff in the UK, I've seen stuff in the USA and parts of Europe, you know, and around Australia. And so I've seen a lot of disability arts material over the last 40 years, I think. But to cut a long story short, not much about anger. You know, there's like, you know, forbearance and resilience and stuff. This is really fueled by rage. And I think that's the difference. Like, I'd love to see more disability works that aren't just about being nice. Oh, my God, did you see The Cost of Living? Now, I know that was a play that won the Pulitzer in playwriting terms or something, but it was written by a non-disabled person, admittedly. And, you know, everyone just fell all over themselves. Oh, this is really like seeing what disability is all about, weeping and all the rest. And yet, you know, the sort of material that I want to make, I think is regarded as being even like a little bit aberrant or weird, you know. What, disabled person punches back? You know, which is effectively what specials is all about. And I think that's what Tansy's hitting on there, is that we don't get to see this level of critique, because I did my homework on special ed. Oh, my God. Everything that's in there actually happened. And if you see it, you will not believe that, because it's just so awful. I mean, it's not torture. Well, it sort of is, actually. But anyway, back to the point. So I think that's what she's touching on there, is the fact we don't often get to see material like this.
As a person with a disability, the perception of people in the community is that people with a disability should not be angered by anything. We don't actually have these suppressed things, and then they become behaviours of concern. becomes labelling.
Yes.
We get funding and we need intervention, but it doesn't address any of the root causes there. Let's play those community service announcements.
Welcome back to The Boldness on this special edition of The Boldness on 3CR, 8:55 a.m. It's all a part of the preparation for the International Day of Women's broadcast held by 3CR on March the 8th. And we are talking with Kath Duncan, one of those special people, about her upcoming play, Specials. It's going to be an absolute knockout.
I think a lot of very productive material comes out of anger. And I think anger is the bread and butter of most disabled people's lives. I mean, you know, even if it's, you know, and we're talking everything from mild discomfort just right through to dealing with the aids and accessories, whatever they are, because everyone's got different levels of that, that you deal with just to, you know, get going and do things. And then there's that level of dealing with the outside world. And then there's the level of, you know, money, work, love, food, all those other things, which are just always more complicated for us. You know, I mean, I'd like to pretend, oh, everything's just so accessible, so wonderful. But, you know, it isn't really. It's a bit of a drama every day. But this is the thing. So, because I see a lot of disabled people get quite angry, but then not have a, like a discharge of that. And I was sort of sitting here while you're asking the question thinking, how do I get away with this? Because I've made so many programs and bits of text and this and that about being really pissed off. It's kind of what I do. And then I thought, you know what it is? It's you've got to have a team. My teams have changed over the past, oh, I started creating stuff when I was in my early 20s. So I'm now in my early 60s. That's 40 years. So I started really just having a lot of luck and blessings in finding the teams to work with. Because there's this anger and creativity, but unless you're sitting writing great poems in your garret or painting things that never get seen, which I do, you know, like a lot of us want our anger and creativity to go out into the world. And I was sort of thinking, you know, it's been the teams, because that's the thing. Like, and it's the tricky part too, because somehow you've got to take your angry story and make it approachable that somebody else will want to join you to make this bigger. That's just how it works. You know, you can't do a whole show by yourself. You can sort of do a radio show. Well, you can't even do a radio show by yourself, can you? Even with all the modern technology, you need people, right? And I think that, to me, is a really important plug-in. So you've got, you know, disability is a ground thing, and then you've got kind of anger coming into that and creative force coming out. And the next, the missing quadrangle, you know, if the squares are strong or something, is the team. And that will change, but that's really important. Because I'm sitting here thinking, oh, my God, like effectively, you know, I've collected funding for this year and last year from, you know, feds and state and all the rest. And I was like, God, how have I expressed that and, you know, got away with it? Because it's quite a sort of contentious script, you know. And the fact is I've surrounded myself with all these really good people. So on paper, even though my idea is pretty out there, on paper there's all these great people supporting me. Does that make sense, Raph?
Quite often, it's people with a disability standing up for their own rights, and that's where Specials comes into it. It's looking back with hindsight. Not only was it a very bad time, and it's a very important part of disability culture and disability pride and disability to have these sort of things documented. What happened at special schools? It's not this politically correct of pretending it didn't happen for what was actually there. It's actually putting it out in the community, getting people's faces. And that's why it's important these stories actually get told.
Who are the people that have supported Specials to make it happen?
Well, I mean, funding is one part of the puzzle, right? So you've got, yes, Creative Australia, Creative Victoria, City of Melbourne, Arts Access Victoria, Arts House itself. They're the kind of main funding bodies. But see, it's not just funding that makes a thing happen. So, you know, who are the people majorly supporting? I have to say the amazing performer Sonia Marcon, who in Specials plays the key evil headmistress character. But back as I was writing this, we were both desperately unemployed, and so we made an arrangement that we would work with all my material. So Sonia's seen all the background material of the whole thing, and workshop over Zoom and the phone this play. And so she really has to take credit for some of this. On top of that, you know, you've got completed writing the first major version of this while doing VCA theatre writing, doing a master's in theatre writing at VCA. And that was just the most incredible year. And so, you know, Raimondo Cortese, Jane Harrison, Jenny Medway, these amazing people I worked with. And every student, because, you know, so what we've also been talking about is, you know, how does a piece go from like an angry idea into a completed work, workshopping? Because I had the privilege of working with 12 other students, all of whom were writing stuff the whole year, and they were workshopping my piece. So I'd just try out new drafts of, you know, scenes on these students who are all performers as well. And it was just the most amazing gift. And so I was going to sum all that up. I'd say the cast we had then, who weren't all VCA students, the cast we have now, and my fabulous producer, Veronica Pardo. What really made a difference to our, or to my applications at the time to get the funding together for specials was looking at the team I had and realising I really needed a credible producer to kind of pull this all together, because it really does add to a picture to have a person with experience there. And I had a bit of experience, but, you know, not a lot, and so did the others. We all had bits and this and that. And so just out of the blue, I rang up my former boss and the former head of Arts Access Victoria, Veronica Pardo, thinking, oh, she's so real and this is going to be a really hard sell. But when I told her about the idea and sent her a copy of the script, she was in as our producer. And that's really made a difference, because Veronica's very good on kind of sussing out a situation and working out how to pitch an idea and where to pitch it to and all this. I've learned heaps from her. So it's quite a full picture of what makes a big team. So funding's part of it, but it's also the structure and the support, like the level of support there that's for the idea and everyone on it. We've got this fantastic director. We've had the same director for 3-4 years since we first did this at VCA, the lovely Tansy. And Tansy brings her own people in, and there's this blending of my people, Veronica's people, and Tansy's people, and it's like this big muddly thing with the gorgeous Rian Hinckley. Everyone wants Rian, believe, oh, not in a porny way, you know what I mean, but everyone wants to work with Rian because he's just so fast and quick and bold. He's like the technical designer guy, kind of puts it all through this computer program, so all the lights get programmed and the visuals get programmed and all this, that and the other. So it's like this big team, and it's all got to come together, and it is. It's so beautiful. Oh my God, sorry.
And it sounds so, and then all that stuff about Tansy's people, Fronnie's people, and your people, it's I'll yep. have my secretary, your secretary to check with the third one to get this all together. But we yep. really are fast running out of time. So what are the details of specials? How can people buy tickets, and where is it? And
well, specials is on at the very lovely Arts House, which is, I think it used to be the North Melbourne Town Hall, but it's the corner of Errol Streets and Queensbury Streets in North Melbourne. This big place, sort of can't miss it really. So we start our season with a preview on Tuesday the 24th of March. So it's all just that last week of March, and we go through till Sunday, and there's 6 shows. So the best way, I've been handing out flyers, but if you just go like Specials Arts House into a browser, you'll get there. All the ticket information's there, because we do have some extra stuff. We have an Auslan interpreted session. We do have a relaxed performance. That's the same as the Auslan session. That's on the Saturday. That's the matinee. I love a matinee, at 2 p.m. That's a tactile tour. And the lovely Nilgen from Visual Vernacular is doing our audio description. We love working with her. And that show is the Friday night show. It's a tactile tour. So you can come in and just like look a bit behind the scenes if you want to. The shows start on the Tuesday. Bit of a family and friends night, that one. Bit of a preview night, you know, for media and stuff like that. And run through the Sunday with every night. And it's just going to be mad. No one's seen anything like this. And I'm really dying to see, because as a writer, I get to step back while those guys just make it all happen. And then I get to see what they've done. Oh, so good.
It's going to be absolutely wonderful. Now, Kath, it is International Day of Women on March the 8th. I really want to hear your thoughts on International Day of Women.
I first learned about IWD in the 80s when I worked at Radio Skid Row in Sydney. I was part of their first news fabulous time. And so we would go to the marches and have little Rayevsky Road banners and all this and march together. And, you know, that's how I first got introduced to IWD. And then in Sydney as well, I'm assuming it's still there, but it used to be a women's library in Newtown and my sister used to run it. And so then I joined with them and we do IWD marches together. So to me, it's a time where we go, you know, we're taking back the power and we're here. You can't ignore us anymore. And I think we've done really well. Like, if you think about it, I mean, there's a lot of room to go. And certainly some nations have, you know, backslid on some of that stuff. But I have a lot of hope for Australian women in particular. I feel that there's like a, I always think we've been really strong, you know, from like holding up. I'm just thinking about Aboriginal women, you know, and just, you know, across the nation. I really think, you know, women in Australia are really, I don't know, I could start crying about it now. Just shut up, Kath. But it's been a long, you know, decades for me. Now that I'm, you know, getting, like, becoming ancient, it's more like a message on Facebook. But, you know, once upon a time, I marched with y'all.
It's now time for us to say thank you very much to Kath Duncan for coming on to 3CR 8:55 AM with the boldness for the leading for the International Day of Women's Day of Programming on March the 8th. We go to air on March the 7th. Thank you very much, Kath Duncan, for coming on to the boldness.
Oh, it was my pleasure as ever, Ruff. Have a fabulous week and thank you.
That is so good, Taxi. Hear your voice again. Look forward to seeing everybody at specials, which is showing at the Art House. Thank you very much for your time. We're going to play a song. And in the meantime, if you don't think the revolution has started, you've been listening to the wrong station. This is 3CR, Voice of the People. Thank you for joining me today.
Let's play a song by Susanna Polyjack called Upside Down, Standing on the Ceiling. Suzanne describes her sound as unique and mysterious, drawing on surreal influences like The Labyrinth, Escher, and Alice in Wonderland. The production was guided by Sean Conran, whose mentorship brought clarity and a professional edge to the project. The result is a piece that balances fantasy with real emotional depth, inviting listeners to witness sadness, hope, and transformation from a safe distance. Sounds a fantastic way for International Day of Women on the 8th of March to lead into it. Let's enjoy Upside Down, Standing on the Ceiling by Susanna Polyjack, and keep listening to 3CR on this boldness special where we're going to be talking with Sarah Barton about a documentary for Stella Young. Keep listening to 3CR. Thank you for joining me today.